Psilocybin-assisted therapy will be on the ballot this November, and KBOO is here to provide an overview of what the measure entails in order to help our listeners be informed voters on November 3rd. We spoke with Tom Eckert, a psychotherapist in Portland and one of the chief petitioners of the measure, as well as Mark Fettman, a psychiatrist in Portland who would like to see psilocybin-assisted therapy sometime in the future, but is unhappy with the conditions of the measure. Oregon Measure 109, the Psilocybin Program Initiative, will be on the ballot on November 3rd. A yes vote supports authorizing the Oregon Health Authority to create a program permitting licensed service providers to administer psilocybin to individuals 21 and older. A no vote opposes the creation of this program. If passed, the Oregon Health Authority would have 2 years to develop the program. People would only be allowed to purchase and consume psilocybin at the service center and under the direct supervision of the service provider after undergoing a preparation session. Over this 2-year period, OHA would determine what qualifications, education, and training are needed for the service providers and create a code of professional conduct for the facilitators. OHA would also be responsible for setting dosage standards and labeling and packaging the drug. Psilocybin, like marijuana, is still classified federally as a Schedule I drug by the Drug Enforcement Agency. In 2019, the Federal Drug Administration designated psilocybin therapy as a breakthrough therapy, a designation meant to, quote, expedite the development and review of drugs intended to treat a serious condition. And as the mental health crisis in the state is among the worst in the nation, many are hopeful that new therapies can help people suffering from depression, anxiety, and addiction. If this measure passes, Oregon would be the first state to legalize the use of psilocybin products. And, if passed, Measure 109 would still prohibit the possession, manufacturing, and consumption of psilocybin outside of designated service centers. The measure has garnered over 160,000 signatures from Oregon residents and has received support from U.S. Representative Earl Blumenauer, the Democratic Party of Oregon, Dr. Bronner Soaps, the ACLU of Oregon, and Moms United to End the War on Drugs. The Oregon Psychiatric Physicians Association opposes Measure 109. The Oregon Psilocybin Society, founded in 2016 by Portland psychotherapists Tom and Cherie Eckert, has been leading the Yes on 109 campaign. Here's Tom Eckert speaking to how he believes Measure 109 could help Oregonians.
Measure 109 is the Psilocybin Therapy Initiative in Oregon. So what we're doing is we're advancing a framework that will allow access to psilocybin-assisted therapy. So psilocybin-assisted therapy, of course, has a growing body of research supporting its safety and efficacy, and it's going to help Oregonians address what's really become a mental health crisis across the state. We have some of the worst rates of mental health and mental illness in the country. So we're really looking for new therapeutic options that are effective. And this modality addresses all kind of a spectrum of mental health issues, ranging from depression and anxiety and even addictions, the lingering effects of trauma, things like that. So we see this as a really exciting approach to address some of our big issues here in Oregon.
The measure is for assisted psilocybin therapy. Here, Tom talks us through the experience.
You make a good point. We're advancing psilocybin therapy. So when we talk about therapy, we're actually talking about a sequence of sessions, a sequence of therapeutic sessions. It begins with a preparation session. So a client would come into a licensed facility and see a licensed facilitator and kind of get oriented to what's to come in terms of the next session, which would be the psilocybin session. There'd also be, in that first session, a kind of an assessment for potential contraindications, make sure that it's a really good fit moving forward. And then maybe a day or two later, you go into a psilocybin session itself, and that's where you have the experience. Of course, psilocybin is a natural compound found in lots of species of mushrooms. And so you ingest the psilocybin and it takes you into an experience. And that's really hard to describe, as many who have dabbled in it would tell you. So I'm not even going to venture to try to describe the experience other than to say that it promotes a real flexibility of mind. And a lot of people who are struggling, whether it's with a diagnosed mental health issue or just in general in life, you know, our tendency is to get caught up in loops and patterns, and certainly depression and anxiety and addictions kind of fit into that spectrum of issues where we basically get stuck. And psilocybin has this way of creating a profound experience that promotes a flexibility of mind so that you can see yourself and see your world in a different way. And that brings up potentially insights and epiphanies and breakthroughs. And then after the experience winds down and you safely come to, nobody's leaving the facility, nobody's driving home while altered or anything like that. But once the psilocybin experience comes to an end, then a couple days later, you have an integration session or a sequence of integration sessions. And that's where you do the kind of more active talk therapy to kind of talk about those insights and epiphanies and make them part of your practice moving forward in a kind of healing journey. And so that's why it's psilocybin therapy. So the psilocybin experience itself is very internal. It's not a talk therapy session. It's really working within your own energies, often with music playing or in a quiet room with just gentle affirmation from a facilitator. They really don't, kind of enter into the experience unless necessary. And that's kind of the way it works. And again, this is the modality that's been advancing at great institutions like Johns Hopkins and NYU and UCLA for a variety of, addressing a variety of issues, including depression. And the outcomes have been really off the charts. So, psychology, therapy, psychiatry, we really need a breakthrough therapy. And in fact, the FDA has identified psilocybin-assisted therapy as a breakthrough therapy, meaning that it's showing promise beyond what already exists. And that's what we need in Oregon.
The Oregon Psychiatric Physicians Association has publicly said it opposes Measure 109, largely because psilocybin has not yet passed through Phase 3 of FDA approval. Phase 3 of the FDA approval process involves several thousand patients that are monitored in clinics to carefully determine effectiveness and identify side effects. In their official opposition statement to Measure 109, OPPA says Measure 109 is unsafe and makes misleading promises to Oregonians struggling with mental illness. The OPPA is a district branch of the American Psychiatric Association, which has also said it opposes Measure 109. Here's psychiatrist Dr. Mark Fetman talking a little bit more about the process.
The medicines that psychiatrists use can be very helpful and are frequently very powerful, but they have to be vetted and tested. And in the United States, we have a procedure for doing that. And then medicines are prescribed and used by doctors as treatment. And psychiatrists are the mind doctors. And so this 109 leaves psychiatrists out of the picture. And I think that just does not make any sense. My objection is not that there may be a bad trip, but that in general, the way we do things in a safe manner in the United States is that we have a Food and Drug Administration that approves drugs, and then a Drug Enforcement Administration. Both are federal agencies that oversee the prescribing and use of medications or substances like this. However, in this case, this proposal would do an end run around that and not use the normal procedures in terms of how these things are utilized and offered as treatment to people.
If psychiatrists in Oregon wanted to administer psilocybin, they wouldn't be able to legally. Here's Mark Fetman explaining why.
Even if I wanted to participate in a clinic like the proposed ones that Oregon Health Association would be setting up, I couldn't do it or I'd lose my career because the DEA would take my DEA license away.
Despite all that, Eckert maintains that the psilocybin program could be absolutely safe and effective under the new initiative.
Well, I mean, I would challenge the idea of it being experimental, first of all. Psilocybin has been around forever. It's a natural compound. It's been used by human beings for hundreds, if not thousands of years in ceremonial contexts by Native peoples across the world. And in our Western context, psilocybin-assisted therapy was studied in the 1950s and 60s a lot, and all those studies pointed to it being a real therapeutic agent with an excellent safety track record. And then it was prohibited by Nixon in 1970 for political reasons, not scientific reasons, right? And so in the last 20 years, some really courageous research teams have broken through that red tape to do more research, really robust, rigorous research, again, at Johns Hopkins, places like that. And it's just basically confirming what we already know, that psilocybin has an excellent safety record, and when managed in this careful therapeutic context, leads to amazing outcomes. So it's not experimental the way I look at it. It's something that we know a lot about. Psilocybin is not a pharma drug, right? This is not a new drug that's been cooked up in the lab that we don't know anything about. So if it was, it would go through a particular process through the FDA and whatnot. Now, psilocybin is moving through a FDA approval process, and in fact, the FDA has designated it a breakthrough therapy. But at root, psilocybin therapy is a therapeutic experiential modality. It's a therapeutic experience, okay? And I think so the right context for that is a therapeutic context. In other words, creating a safe setting, having a trained facilitator. But they're kind of looking at it through this lens that they want to kind of keep it as a pharma drug, and it can't be patented, and it's a different modality. I know that a lot of medical doctors, in fact, our polling shows that, you know, highly educated folks like medical doctors are generally in favor of this measure.
Measure 109 will be on the ballot this November. A yes vote supports the creation of a program permitting licensed service providers to administer psilocybin to individuals 21 and older. A no vote opposes the creation of this program. Don't forget to keep tuning in to KBOO for continuous coverage on the issues and candidates we'll be seeing on the November ballot. And most importantly, don't forget to vote. For KBOO, I'm Nat Moon.